Yeah, I want to clean up some of the things we said yesterday because most of them were accurate. I just want to make sure that we didn't leave any misimpressions. In Siman Chaf Hey, Hilchos Tefillin, it says a person puts on tefillin after he puts on the talis. Lashon Mechaber is explicit. Shemalin B'kodesh. That's exactly what he says. In Chaf Tes, it says, Ein levarach al chelitzosim, afilu erev Shabbos bein hashmashos. In other words, even when you're taking off your tefillin just before Tzeis HaKikovim on erev Shabbos, you still do not make a bracha on removal. Siman Lamed. No, we never. That's the point. The point is even. In other words, the reason I said it that way is because we paskin lilo is montfilin. It's not lav's montfilin. So therefore, taking them off at Tzeis HaKikovim was never an option for our psalm. The Mechaber says even erev Shabbos, right? Ben Hashmashos, you also don't make the bracha. Next thing, Siman Lamed. It says you can't put on tefillin at night because Shema Yishkachem, the Yishon Bahem. You can't put them on lechachila. Aval im hinia hinicham kaidem. If you had them on prior and then it comes night, shokol chama, you can leave them on afilu kol halayla. The Ein Moirin king. That's a halachic Ein Moirin king. Like I said, we pass in halachically, Laila is man filling, but we don't tell people to put on tefillin at night. If there's no place to watch the tefillin, and you want to wear the tefillin because of that reason, to be able to watch them, that's even at night, it's halacha Umarin king. We will pass in like that. Okay. Absolutely. Oh, you mean why in the beginning? Oh, I see what you're saying. That's a good question. It says explicitly you're supposed to say Mashiach, if he holds Lila's mom feeling, why don't you say it earlier? Good question. I don't know. That's a good question. The Bir Halacha says over there, Beferish, that when we say you have to take a tefillin off at night, it does not mean at sunset. It means just prior to Tzeis HaKikovim. During Ben HaShemashos, it's mutter to keep them on L'chachilo. That's another thing. One mistake I made yesterday. I said that it says that on Shabbos, we said it's because Shabbos is already an os, therefore you don't put on another os. I mentioned that I thought that was, I said the nafkamina between the two terutzim, the one that says it's based on the pasuk, is v'shamata osokim kazois miyamim yamimo v'lo b'shabbos yomtov. As opposed to the other reason, which was you don't put it on Shabbos Yom Tov because Shabbos itself is an os. So I said the nafkamina between those two terutzim was, according to the second terutz, perhaps it wouldn't be usser to put it on Shabbos. Maybe it's just a mal, you know, you don't have to wear it because there's two osos. Not correct. Hold on one second. Let me just say one second. Shabbos and Yom Tov, it says the following in Siman Lamed Aleph. Usser lahaniach tefillin. This is what the Mechaber says. He does it. So it's a zilzul. So it's not. So it's a zilzul to the Shabbos. It's a zilzul to the Shabbos. That's why it's also the Quran.
So you go to the party, and there's a question in some of the countries if Shabbos, the real Shabbos, is Saturday or Sunday. So they say, like, on Sunday, keep midoraisa, the halachas that are midoraisa, which what they are is another question. So so should you not then put on tefillin on Sunday?
Orthodox rabbi.
I think it's a good dateline question. Ask Rabbi Heinemann. All right. So that's it. That's the recap of the halachas of tefillin that we went through, and we're going to have some more halachas today. But those are the main things I wanted to hit. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, says that if someone were to put on tefillin on Shabbos l'shem mitzvah, he would actually be over on Baltasif because it's not the.
Was walking, and this was in the early 1900s. He was walking to Shul on Shabbos, and all of a sudden he hears somebody making a bracha on tefillin. looks up and he sees in the apartment, he sees an open window. So he went up to the person, knocked on the door, and there's a guy who's dressed up in tefillin on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why, you know, because the person said he has to go to work, and therefore Shabbos is not an osur.
Uh-huh. Very good. Very good. Good story. Okay, let's go weiter. It is 8:35. That was a 5-minute recap. We're going to pay for that. Tony. Nichlas lamerchas. This is basically, we're just going to be going through. Again, we mentioned that there are three rooms. All we're going to be talking about is what are the rules for what you can do in all these three rooms. Room number one, most of the people are wearing their clothes. Again, let me just say this clearly. The way we're going to present it today is as follows. The first room you go in, you're wearing your clothes. You take the clothes off and then go with those clothes into the middle room. So for the most, now some people are wearing the underwear, and even the people who are not wearing the underwear, they will not be in that room for even 10 seconds. So most of the people, almost 99% of the time, will be clothed in that outside room. That's why we consider that room a makom sha'im din levushim. We don't consider the fact that there may be for a few seconds people not wearing clothing. That's what they say. Middle room, some people are wearing clothing, some people are not wearing clothing. Inside room, no one's wearing clothing. Okay. Now, with that in mind, Niklas Lamerchas, you go into the washhouse. If it's the outside room, everybody's wearing clothing. Yesha Mikro Tfila, you could say Shema, Mikro will be Shema here. And Tfila, you could dive Shema to essay. The answer is Shalom, which certainly you could say Shalom Aleichem to your friend. Shalom again is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which you can't say in a Beis HaKise. Nice and Tfilin, you could put on Tfilin there, even in that room. Surely you don't have to say that he doesn't have to take them off. Were you wearing the tefillin and you walked into that room? If it's the inside room where everybody's not wearing clothing, then you can't say hello, shalom over there. You can't say shalom aleichem. And you also can't call your friend's name. If you have a friend named Shalom, you can't call out to him either. Of course, it goes without saying, you can't say Kriya Shema, you can't daven Kol Tefila, but you have to take it till off before you go into the room, either upon entering the room or, you know, they keep saying this, upon entering the room, or do you have to do it before you go into the room? Surely you can't put it on. If you're in the middle room, Yesham Shil Shom, you can say hello, but you can't daven. In a chalitz tefillah, you don't have to take off your tefillin there. The ain't an osur, but you can't put them on l'chachilu. That's the rule. Aval ain't a life shon, but we're talking about the outermost room. So there's a qualification over here that if it's after you bathe, this is the way he learns it. Aval ain't a life shon, after bathing, then you don't put your tefillin on again. Ad sheyetzim a oisur reshus shal oisur merchatz, until you go completely out of that bathhouse. We mentioned that before. We're going to say it again now. Because since it really is, it is fart the fart theory. It is fart a bathhouse. You don't use that as your haskol. The Dom Messiah Kai Damar Reb Yitzchok Beginner Reb Yochanan. This is it supports that which we said regarding Reb Yochanan that we said at Yaakov Turmasah. We have this Yaakov the bathhouse manager. That's what we said it was. Hayalayshan, he would wait until, well, this is the question. It depends how we learned before. Okay, let's just say it one more time. So we had two pshatim in where this Yaakov guy was. He was either on the inside room where nobody was wearing anything, and he allowed Rabbi Yochanan to wear his tefillin up until that point, and then he took off his tefillin. Or he was outside the bathhouse, and he lived in the next door to the bathhouse completely, and Rabbi Yochanan would wait to put back on the tefillin until he got there. So if we learn the second shot, then this makes it flows much more smoothly with what we just said, because we would be saying, just like we see, Rabbi Yochanan waited to go to the outside, he didn't put it on, after bathing, he waited till he got to his house. The other pshat is that this is going to be coming back to the earlier halachas. So that's the way it is here. Reb Yirmiyah boy kumi Reb Zera. Here's a simple question.
Why, if he took a bath, he should not put it on even in the outer room?
So 14, what does it say? He says, when the Brisa permits putting the tefillin in the outermost room, it's someone who enters the bathhouse to rest briefly and for some reason removed his tefillin. If he generally wears his tefillin all day, he can put them back on while in the bathhouse. But if you actually bathe, you should wait until he exits. Okay. I wasn't mined into the exact halachic framework of this. Yeah. Now, the question here is, the next question is like this. If, let's suppose you had a bathhouse which only operated during, it was seasonal. You know, yeah, you're up in the mountains and the bathhouse only operates during the summer, not during the winter, you know, something like that. So what's the rule in the winter? If someone goes visits, an empty bungalow colony in the winter, can they go into the bathhouse? And since it's nobody's there, so can he daven there? You know, it's out of service, so to speak. That's the question. So the Gemara says, "Amalei merchatz afal pi she'ena marchatzes," that if it's a bathhouse, even if it's not active at the time, the Beis Hakisei, that he's translating Beis Hakisei latrine. I don't know. That's a harsh word in my vocabulary. Afal pi she'en bo tsoa, even if there's no tsoa at this time, once it was used as a Beis Hakisei, even once, that's it. Forever, it's no good. Right. If that's different. That's different. Again, we hold Hasamara Lav Mil Sahib by these halachas, and therefore, if it's never been used, you can make brachas in that room. But if it's been used even once,
that's it forever.
Doesn't matter how clean it is. There may be a difference. That's true. That's true. There is a svara to say there's a difference, but we're not knowing that way. Okay. In fact, Rav Avadya, just to bring it up to those of you not aware of it, Rav Avadya is extremely machmir about washing the tefillin yadayim in the bathroom, even though there's a big svara to be makel because of the svara you just said, but Rav Avadya did not accept. Okay.
Yeshivas that have a separate, actually, in the toilets, they got a toilet area in the same one bathroom.
Yeah. Of course. 100%. Marukvah Mark, Ahon Chazira. Now we're talking about he translated as a hog. Okay. Based Kisei Matoka Lahab. That's like a moving latrine. The shot here is that even if he went into the water and he came out of the water, and you'd think that, oh, his mouth is clean. He's like, he's just had a cleaning by, you know, the local the dental hygienist, right? So you think that it would be okay. The answer is no, that unfortunately they don't use floss when they go into the water. And therefore, a hog eats excrement. Those who don't know, this is why whenever a hog walks by, it's like in Beis HaKilim, it'll tell us, it's like you have Soa walking by, you can't say any bracha while it's doing that. Reb Yonah Boy, we're on 22A3 now in the English. Reb Yonah Boy, he asked the following question. This is the question exactly what it means, but let's learn it this way for the time being. It could be the pshat is that you have some sort of excrement that had been washed up on the seashore, so, and it had been, let's say, slightly dried out in the sun. It also had because it had been washed over with water, perhaps the smell was not as intense. Mm-hmm. So the question is, can you? Let's just review the halachas one more time. You can't say a bracha tov dal and amis of tzoa, whether you see the tzoa in other words, in front of you, whether it's behind you, it fits within your dalanamis. Dalanamis. And assuming that there is no smell. If there's a smell there, then even outside the dalanamis, even if it's behind you, you cannot make a bracha over there. Now, the question is, let's suppose you were within dalanamis of this tzoa, which was washed. So the Gemara wanted to know, what's the rule in that case? Could be that's the pshat of the Gemara. Amar Ba'ami Asya, Ravami, the doctor said, Hayri Rabirmiya ruled, Mavar Leva Pilyus. He can remove it with his handkerchief, meaning he could cover it, let's say cover it with his handkerchief so he can't see it. So even though he's within Dalanamis, but he can't see it, so then he can go ahead and make the bracha, lo samfni loy. And this is also a question what this means. It might mean lost company, like we don't rely on Rabbi Yirmiyah's heter, or it could be even if you cannot see it, he may not recite any brachas near it. He has to still move out of the dalanamis. Bottom line is you have to be machmor over here. We don't rely on a wash, something to that effect. Okay, next. Rabbi Zeir b'shem Rabbi Abba by Yirmiyah oichel hen achilas aray. Now we're going to talk about very important. Well, this is extremely important halacha l'maisa for everybody, especially those of us who like to come out of the shul wearing our tefillin on a day that someone brought in tikkun, and there's boxes of donuts piled high ad hashamayim, right? And I've got my tefillin on, and I want to grab a donut. I'm going to learn now. No, I'm going to learn my tefillin. Cholil, I shouldn't learn my tefillin. But I figure I'll go ahead and I'll grab a donut and a cup of coffee. What could be bad? What could be bad? What could be bad? It could be very bad. Let's say a person makes a siyum after a person's finished the Yerushalmi, 5.5 years from now. The guy made a finished Yerushalmi. He's going to make a big siyum after davening. He's going to have bagels and lox. I would get the zafid. And you're going to sit down with bagels and lox and with your tefillin on. Are you allowed to do that? So we're going to learn those halachas now. You can eat an achilas arai. And that arai, by the way, is the same halacha as by hilchas sukkah. If in hilchas sukkah, you can't eat that outside the sukkah, that's considered achilas kava regarding this halacha as well. Okay, so it's arai as long as you eat it outside the sukkah.
So the assumption has been that all the people that wore tefillin all the time would take it off when you were eating?
That is correct. That's exactly what we're about to discuss. It's going to have a whole mysis like this. Okay, eichelman achilas arai. You can have achilas arai. But in eichelman achilas kava, you cannot eat achilas kava. Yashem behen yashinas arai. You could sleep a little cat nap. But in yashem behen shinas kava, but you can't do a shinas kava. What's the problem with sleeping? Problem with sleeping is what? Hashem yafia. Now, apparently, just a cat nap that was not a chash. Apparently, you were still, I guess, in control enough. The Rabbeinu Yonah is a famous Rabbeinu Yonah. He quotes it over here. Rabbeinu Yonah asked the famous question, L'chaira, it's a hesach hadas. Aren't you supposed to only be thinking, about your tefillin? It's also l'asiyach daitim. Remember, we have a kal v'chaira from the tzitz. Manach of the tzitz only has one askara, and you're not allowed to be m'siyach das. Kosher came the tefillin, which has, I don't know, 27. I forget what the number is. As car as surely you can't be the CF Das, a couple of hundred from the tzitz. So how can you go take a nap, even a small nap? You won't be thinking about the tefillin once you doze off. That's a Rabbeinu Yonah's kash. So what's the answer? The answer is the Isser Hesach Hadas is thinking about something else. Thinking about nothing is not considered Hesach Hadas. Very interesting. So, Rabbeinu Yonah. That's a good question. But for me, it would be, for me, for sure, it would be. I'd be totally focused. In fact, I'd be focused on which flavor to take. And in fact, the Pir Halacha brings down the Shemesh Rosh Yaakov. He says that this heter to eat achilas arai, he says this is for people who wear their tefillin all day. But someone who only wears his tefillin for davening exclusively should not even eat achilas arai. That's what he writes. I just discovered that. I didn't know that. I don't know. I wanted to include, you know, people, there are people who drink coffee while they're davening, so maybe the coffee is not included. I don't know. Okay. So here we go. Now we're going to talk about what you just mentioned. Okay. Is now we're on base on the base. Is Tani Tani Mivarech Palm Achas? So there were people who said that they made one bracha on the tefillin. And that's all they made on, in other words, during the course of a day, they only made one bracha on their tefillin. Is Tani? The reason is Hatzach Hadas. Yeah, I think so. Does he say it over here? One second. Here he says a different reason. Here he says in note 25, he says that we're afraid he's going to become drunk. Yeah, I guess that's not. I didn't look up the reason. I didn't look it up. It says over here, Rashi to Bavli 23b says it's going to, he might become shikar. Anybody see anything else? Let's just take a look over here. Rosh Cirillo says the same thing. Shema Yishtaker, the Tfilov, the Yizgana. Yeah, he also says the thing about the drunk. Okay. That's what he says. I thought it was because of Hesed Hadas. I'm sorry.
What comment was that?
What was that? No.
No
problem. There's no problem. Yeah, Talos. There's no din of Hesed Hadas by Talos. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Joey. We're on 22B, those of you who just joined us. It's Tani Mivarech Palm Achas. Some only made a bracha one time a day on tefillin. It's Tani Palm Achas. Some people say that they used to say twice a day the bracha on the tefillin. So now the Gemara says, the one who says they only said the bracha one time a day is because as long as he never take them off, he doesn't have to repeat the blessing. That's because he ate a achilas keva, and when he ate the achilas keva, he obviously had to take his tefillin off because you're not allowed to eat a achilas keva with your tefillin. So therefore, he had to make two brachos.
According to this, he's saying because he didn't take it off, but they should have, and since he didn't,
I guess you could learn it two ways, right? See, in three, let's see here. Maybe we should do this one in the Hebrew. How about the Haredim? Let's look at that. He says, I felt Hillas Arai. No, before that. Mandi Amar Shtei Pa'amim. How about the one at the top? The Haredim, the first line. Climber. Hada Amar Barak Shtei Pa'amim. At Filin. Kigunda Shochach. Okay, this is what Chaim said. So the third line of the Haredim says, "Kagun the shachach for achal b'hinachilas keva, tzorach levarach mechadash kilu ata minichon." Okay, so he's saying that's a big kiddush. So he forgot to take them off. He ate the achilas keva. So that's a hesach hadas. We call it a hesach hadas. Yeah. Generally speaking, if you go to the bathroom in the middle of while you're wearing tefillin, you generally speaking have to make another bracha. But I think it's if you only urinate. Then you might not have to make another bracha on the tefillin, but certainly if you have a movement, you certainly have to, because that's a chiyuv gomer to have taken off your tefillin. It's an iser. Hashtana might be mutter. We'll see that in a second. Okay, Hold on, wait, hold off on the bathroom part. Okay, let's get this straight first. So let's see here. So we're saying mandamar pamachas nicha, mandamar vrak shtei pavim po'achav inuni loy. So when he finishes eating, it's like putting on tefillin anew. He must therefore repeat the blessings. That's what it says here, right? Okay. Yeah. I think in three he brings both pshat. Either the pshat is he took it off, or the pshat is he forgot to take it off. I think it's either pshat could go. Now, let's see. Next thing. Amar Rav Zeira, Kaimer Rebbe Abba Bar Yirmiya, Boichel Ben Achilas Arai. That the first braisa that said you only made one bracha, that's a guy who had to eat, obviously. But he was so up to heat on wearing his tefillin that all he did was he ate only achilas arai all day. So therefore, it was never considered a hefsek, and therefore, he never had to take off his tefillin. He only made one bracha on the tefillin all day. That would be the alternative shot. Okay, Rav Zeir, Rav Shem, Rav Abba Bir, Yeril, Eichlas, Ol, Beis HaMayim, Besor, Rav Tefillin, B'yadav. So now, here he's saying a new rule, that you should not go into the Beis Hamayim, which we're calling the latrine, and having your svarim or your tefillin in your hands. In other words, you shouldn't go in there with that in your hands, because it's not considered a matam maki. Rabbi Yechon can have a sifra biyadei. Rabbi Yechon had the following practice. He had his svarim in his hands on his way into the latrine, so that what he would do is, have yav le l'churon, he would give it to somebody else. Could have him tefillah iloi. And if his tefillin were on him, he was wearing them. Have a coin bind, he would remain in them even when entering the latrine. Okay? So, in footnote 9, he mentions that he held it was permissible to even urinate while wearing the tefillin. So here is where he writes the difference. Certainly, he would not defecate, because that would be for sure not allowed. But, therefore, that's what he would allow there. Anyway, so that's what it says over here. Normally, we halachically, we do not allow a person to be mashed with a tefillin because we're afraid shami yafiach b'hem. But Rabbi Yechon apparently knew that was not going to be a problem. He was able to assess his abilities. Okay. Masisa pligal Rav Abba Bar Yirmiya, Niknas Adam Beis Hamayim with tefillin b'yado, that you could go in. In other words, we just said you could go in with the tefillin in his hands. And over here we're saying, just a second. So he's asking, what's his question over here? His question is, Masnisa Plika Arab Abba by Yirmiya. Why? Because it says, Niknas Adam Lebes Amayim Utfilov Biyado. So why is this a contradiction? So he said not to go, and here it says he can go, right? Simple, right? First Bryce has said not to go. I don't know why they interrupted with Bjerken anyway. So you have the first statement saying you cannot go with the tefillin in your hands, and the second statement says that you can go with the tefillin in your hands. I'm going to say Eiro, Kamer Bavai Yirmiyo, Kamer Yachol Loiv Shon. And we're talking about where he has time. And if there's enough daylight time after he's going to come out of the latrine to be able to put the tefillin back on and be Mekayim the mitzvah with the remaining time in the day. So therefore, we'll allow him to go in with holding the tefillin. But here, the reason, in other words, in his own ruling that he said earlier that you cannot go in, that's when there's not going to be any time afterwards. Dilochein, therefore, mitzvah, since you're not going to be able to wear them anyway. So, in other words, presumably, the reason you're going to be carrying them is so you'll have access to them immediately upon exiting. You'll be able to be mekayim the mitzvah again. That'll be the basis of the heter to carry them. So you get okay. So you're carrying the tefillin in, so you'll be able to have them immediately upon exit. But if there's not going to be time afterwards anyway to be kind of mitzvah, there's no need to be mevazeh the tefillin in this. When I say bizrei, I mean to show them this level of covered. Okay, but rishonim nice to lachaverim in the beginning. They used to give them to their friends. How you know the nice of varchem? They would take them and run away. What kind of friend runs away with the tefillin? So either they say they're highest, or perhaps it doesn't mean your friend, but it means you see a stranger standing outside the bathroom, and you can say, "Please hold my tefillin for me for a second." And then they ran away, ran off with it. And I'll tell you in a second what it says in the Bavli. The Bavli has a famous story. His kinushu menicha mechorin. So then they made a takona. Don't give it to people, but rather there were holes in the wall, right? There was like little cubbies. So they were masakin. Just put the tefillin in the cubby and then come out, take the, and that's what you'll do. So it won't get, nobody will run off with them. Because she ira isa maisa, but that was the famous story, of course. Everybody knows the story that there was once a guy who was a Talmud of Yeshiva. He left it outside in the hole, in the wall. Along came a Zaina, saw the tefillin, took the tefillin out of the hole, went to the Beis Medrash and said, "Look, see, it says, you know, Shlomo, better, you know, a Shulman on here. Look what your Talmud left by me in the Beis Zayna. You think he's so holy?" And I came out and I was so embarrassed. Went up to the roof, threw myself off the roof, and killed myself. And because what did he say? Yes, after he told himself, he told a story. You could do that on the internet. Okay, so therefore the Chachamim were masakein. Because of that, they made a takona, no more leaving the tefillin outside anymore, unguarded. There was a din shmira, so to speak, that they made on the tefillin, that you should watch the tefillin so you carry them into the Beis HaKisei as well. Again, you cover them. We're going to see in a second. Right, exactly. Right. So his kinushu autumn next time the hembiyoto. That's why he haven't been hit. Rabbi Yaakov Arachel Moshim Rabbi Zeira Amar Hushehesh Bayon Kde Lovshan, still talking about there's enough time of the hembiyoto. Kde Lovshan also glachin. There's a lot other mehil number of vaselim. Why be vaselim them again? Same idea. Maisha Barbrei the Rabbi Yisro Balevi Amar Man Do Avid Tavus. One who wants to do the best way of storing his tefillin. So also lahan kisrael tefach. So what you do is you make a little bag, a tefillin bag. And you make sure that there's a space inside the bag of a tefach of space. The reason why you want a tefach of space, it says in the bottom, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, which I did, I looked it up, and Mishnah Berurah says that if there's less than a tefach of space in the bag, the whole bag becomes tefillin to the tefillin, and therefore the bag will also have the same kusha of the tefillin. You haven't accomplished anything by putting them in the bag. So therefore, if you have a bag with a tefach, the bag has a chashivas outside of the tefillin, and therefore you have actually a bag with no kedusha, and it will act as a. That's right. There's no custom to have two bags. We just put a plastic bag on it for protection to the rain. There's no custom per se. No, that's not the reason why we people do it for whatever reason they do it. That's like I said, I don't think there's a custom to do it. I'm not disagreeing with you. Perhaps it's true that those two bags have different dinim. Yeah, the boxes and the tefillin are. First of all, the ritus are outside of the box, so I don't think it's going to make a difference. Okay, yeah. So next. The nice and ali, well, you put it on, you carry it with you over your heart. Matam, why are you carrying the tefillin by your heart? Because it says in Pasuk, Shrisi Hashem, okay? Taman Amrin, Kol Sheinu. Okay, we're going to just go a little bit more. Taman Amrin, Taman is, of course, in Bavel. Kol Sheinu Kalisha Balknafayim, if you're not able to watch your tefillin like Elisha Balknafayim, Lo Yobash Tefillin, you shouldn't put on tefillin. Meaning that he has to be able to do to maintain a certain level of cleanliness, right?
Uh-huh. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a story here. The family, I'm not going to speak out the story. You all know this story. Let's see. It's 9:04. Do you want me to continue? Want me to stop here? Continue, okay? Rabbi Zeir B'Shem Rabbi Abayu.
And I just want to ask about the modern day bathrooms. If you go in and it's where there's nothing there, can you bring in your tefillin or tala into the bathroom? If there's nothing there, it doesn't smell, or is it, you're saying it's a makom natuna for?
Generally speaking, are you talking about why you're wearing them?
No, I'm talking about in the case.
In the case, I mean, if it's a question of shmira, I think it depends. If it's a question of shmira that you need, that they're at risk of getting taken, it's 100% mutter. Yeah.
Okay.
Rabbi Zeir B'Shem Rabbi by Yirmiya LeYichnas on the base Akvaras V'Yasat Shacham Sham. Shouldn't go into a graveyard and relieve himself. Although it's, you know, it could be tempting because you have to go and it's probably private over there, right? You're being blocked by Matzevus. But it's not proper. In Cain, it must have Cain. Okay. Doma, there was a story of Pia Ruba, Rabbi Yonis, and Haimach, and they were going in the graveyard. Kumi Arse, and they were in front of the Arse, it's the beer, that means it's they were burying Rabbi Shimon Bar Yosi. And Hava Rabbi Yonis, and Mafsa Al Kirai. So Rabbi Yonis was walking on top of the grave. So later, Pia Ruba, Kedoin, Inun Meymar, he said, you know, now the dead people are going to say, "Lamachu inun gabon." Tomorrow they're going to be by us. Inun meikin alon. Today they're tormenting us. They're stepping in our graves. So he says, "I'm alive." They know what's going on over here. They know that I'm walking on top of their grave. Lo kain siv hamesim ani gavuma. They don't know anything. Pasuk in Kehelas, right? I'm alive. Look, Christ, not today. You know how to read a pasuk. Lidro shinat today, but you don't know how to dash no. So the pasuk earlier says that the living people know they're going to die. So elu hatzadikim know they're going to die. Shafilu v'misasim kuyim chayim. Even while they're dead, they know what's going on. Hamesim and amyanim and duuma. What's that referring to? That's elu rasham. Those rasham. Shafilu b'chayim kuyim mesim. Even while they're alive, they're called dead. So in other words, now you're stepping on top of kfarim. That doesn't mean that they don't know anything. That could be that the kfarim that you're stepping on are tzadikim. And they do know what's going on, right? How do you know they're called dead? Famous pasuk. Hashem doesn't want the death of a person. That's referring, of course, to them doing averas. And when they do an avera, they'll become rishayim. So you see Hashem called rishayim doing averas, mace. So mace. Does someone who's already dead die? What do you mean? I don't want the dead person to die. What does that mean? So Elo Ashrayim Shafu Chayim Kuri Mesim means that they were dead already and they're going to die again. And how do you know the other way? That Tzadik and Mivim Ben Misasin of Kuim Chayim. That this is the land. He's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the land that I swore to them, saying, what does it mean, Lamar? So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechem Rol Avos, go tell the Avos, Kom Asher Seisim Lechem Asis Lumech Makarech, whatever I promise you, I'll do to your children after you. Go tell them. In other words, Moshe is going to give the Avos a message. In other words, he's going to die also. He's going to go tell the Avos that Hashem kept his promise and he gave Klal Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. Okay, this is the stopping. Guten Tag. Tomorrow, looks like we're going to have some sophos.